I don't know what you think you're doing here, but this isn't a party for Tempest's sake. Get out of here before—
You always underestimate me, she broke in, sounding irritated. You do realize that just because I dress well doesn't mean I'm a featherbrain. Morella, this is not the time, I warned. Then, because I couldn't help myself, I asked, how did you even get here?
Through the tunnels, of course. I had a guide who knew the location of the throne, my own personal shadow.
Though her words made no sense, her tone was relaxed and smooth, as if we all sat at a grand table for a court dinner.
Now, where is the shard?
Ah, yes. I sense the tall one has it.
Prince Iko, is it?
If you'd just hand that to me, I'd be much obliged. She waltzed up to him and held her palm out. He regarded her in stunned silence.
I don't want to hurt you, Morella explained. But if you don't hand over the shard, I'll have to.
Morella, I said desperately, what are you doing?
I want the shard, she said slowly, as if talking to a simpleton.
She beckoned to Prince Iko.
I'm not giving it to you, he snapped,
clearly outraged by this confusing turn of events. She dropped her hand.
Well, I suppose it's as good a time as any to test my new abilities.
She closed her eyes and dark tendrils flowed from her pale hair. A gossamer shadow took form in the air above her. First, its shoulders bristled with protrusions that appeared to be jagged icicles, with similar pointed shapes forming a crown on its head. Then there were hints of a human-like upper body. Dread sank talons into my fast-beating heart. Somehow, the frost minax was here. As it hovered in the air, it whispered in a sibilant language I couldn't decipher, though I could hear the fire minax answering in the same tongue.
Both of them. Here.
No!
Then, to my utter horror, Morella spoke in the same language, as easy and familiar as friends gossiping over tea. A wash of ice settled at the base of my spine. Arcus was suddenly in front of me. Terror elongated Prince Iko's face, accentuating the bones in his cheeks.
What?
Morella fluttered a hand at the hovering shadow.
I'm sorry. How rude of me. You don't understand its language. The Minax said, give us the shard.
She held her hand out again, palm up.
I hope you're more willing now.
We all stared helplessly. The Minax wasn't something you could fight with frost or fire. It was made of mist and midnight.
No,
Prince Iko said shakily. The shadow creature flowed toward him, its obsidian tendrils disappearing into his hands, which had come up to ward it off. His eyes widened, and he jerked a couple of times before reaching, puppet-like, into his pocket and pulling out the shard. He extended his arm and dropped it into Morella's outstretched palm. She flashed a smile, as sparkling as a sunlit waterfall and as infectious as typhoid, the one I'd seen charm a roomful of courtiers.
Thank you.
The shadow creature left Prince Iko's body and floated toward me. Arcus sent out a blast of frost that went right through its transparent form.
True vessel,
it begged, drawing nearer. I shrunk back instinctively. Return to me, Morella commanded, and the frost minax flowed back into her instantly.
Morella,
Arcus said, sounding horrified.
How long has that thing been part of you?
It wasn't easy, she said softly. I had to find it in Tevros, convince it to choose me as its next host when the previous one, rather conveniently, mind you, died in a brawl over a game of dice. And then there was hiding my condition on the ship. Luckily, seasickness is an excellent cover for Minax possession. Her breathy laugh raised a fresh crop of goosebumps on my arms. That's why I had to stay in my poorly lit cabin most of the time. I couldn't let you see my veins. Also, I truly did feel ill at times. And then I had these strange visions. I think I saw you, Ruby, in the Fireblood School, and once you were in a cave or something. There was fire and lava. Did you see me? On the ship?
I think so, I answered, feeling sick. I'd seen someone on a ship. It must have been Mirella, or rather the Frostminax that was somehow still connected to me, sending me images she was seeing. She nodded.
Most people who are possessed don't survive longer than a week, but I'm stronger than most people. She glanced at Arcas. Sometimes at night I sent the Minax into one of your sailors for a few hours to give myself a rest. If you heard someone screaming with nightmares, that would be why.
A razor-sharp chill skittered over my body, raising every tiny hair on my arms and the back of my neck. You're mad, Arcas breathed.
Not mad. Tired.
Tired of having to behave like a ninny to fulfill my father's expectations for what a lady should be. Tired of being underestimated by you and the court. Tired of being passed over. Tired of pretending to be so much less than I am. What are you planning to do? I asked. She moved gracefully toward Arcas, whose whole body tensed.
Arcas, you're going to step away from Ruby,
she instructed with a small, chilling smile.
No,
he said firmly. She moved closer.
You're going to move away from her now.
No!
He lifted a hand to stop her approach. She stopped inches away.
If you hurt me, if you knock me out, the Minax will merely be free to do as it wishes. You know what follows. Death, pain, madness. It will inhabit whomever it chooses, and you will have no control over it. I, however, control it perfectly, as you've seen. And by the way, Prince Iko can stop right now, or he will be the first to die.
She swiveled suddenly, catching Prince Iko just feet behind her. Get back to the wall, she ordered. The prince moved to the wall, the rage in his eyes spitting green fire.
I don't need you, Arcas. Or you, Prince, she said with a flap of her hand. You can both leave.
They didn't move.
I can see you're not taking me seriously.
Her jaw hardened. She pointed at Prince Iko and the Minax seeped into the air again, then flowed into his body. This time, he gave an ear-splitting shriek of agony that echoed off the cavern walls. He dropped to his knees. I sensed the exultation of the Minax, both of them, as they absorbed the joy of his suffering. Mirella said, "Return to me." And the shadow arced towards her and disappeared into her veins.
Now that you know what I'm capable of, I suggest you leave. Or should I just kill you?
Prince Iko grabbed the wall and hauled himself to his feet, then turned to face Mirella again.
Go, Prince Iko, I said pleadingly.
I brought you here. I won't leave you. He brought his hands up, palms tilted at Mirella to attack. She watched him, poised, a snake about to strike. You can't fight this with fire, Prince Iko, I said. Please, go now. The corner of Mirella's mouth twitched up, as if she enjoyed his indecision. Just go, I repeated. Please! Hearing the urgency in my voice, he backed toward the door and, with a reluctant glance, left the cavern.
Now you, Arcas, she said calmly, tilting her pert chin toward the entrance.
He shook his head.
Only if Ruby leaves with me.
Mirella closed her eyes, and the Minax came for him, its onyx talons outstretched. He put up his forearm to block. I waited for that sickening moment when the tendrils would penetrate his skin. Instead, it recoiled visibly, jerking back as if rebounding off an invisible barrier.
Not that one, it whispered, shaken.
I felt its revulsion and pain. Shock rippled through me. Mirella's eyes were narrowed to slits as she examined Arcas. She stood with his arm still raised as he watched the Minax return to her. She shuddered as it disappeared into her fingers.
I guess I'll have to let you stay for now. But I think I'll close that opening,
in case anyone else decides to join us. Her arm shot forward, and Frost surged out to strike the ceiling with the force of a battering ram. A deluge of rock shook the floor, clogging the opening. When the ground stopped trembling, she smiled, self-satisfied. "Didn't think I could do that, did you? The Minax lends me power." Arcus and I shared a brief look. She truly was unstable. Weeks of possession by the Minax had tangled the threads of her mind. "I've dreamed of this day for so long," she smiled benignly. "To reunite them both. I can hardly believe I've done it." "Why would you want to?" I asked, wondering if her reasons would make any sense to me. "The Frost Minax and Fire Minax are like twins. Not only did the Frost Minax feel the constriction of its own bonds, it could feel the pain of its twin in the Fire Throne. The Fire Minax was isolated here, kept from its true host, the Queen. The best it could achieve was a partial bond, blocked by rock and castle stone. How do you think that felt, Ruby?" The bond had been strong enough for the Queen to execute any Frostbloods who didn't agree to servitude. I couldn't imagine what a full bond would look like. Morella's eyes were shrouded by shadows, but somehow they managed to glow with a restless fervour, nearly fanaticism, that terrified me almost more than the Minax. "I could hear it," she continued, "the Minax speaking to me from the Frost Throne. My mother's family worshipped Urus, the creator of the Minax, though I only found out after her death. My father wouldn't let me speak to her when she took ill, probably because he knew she'd tell me the secrets about the Minax before she died. But I'll never know for sure, will I?" Thanks for his small-minded fear of power. "Small-minded fear?" I breathed with disbelief. She spoke as if exposure to the Minax were no great risk. "Don't you want the power to control your own life? Your own destiny? Having authority over others only makes that easier. I was groomed to marry a king, but when it became clear that that would never happen, I was forced to come up with an alternate plan. I will rule, just not at anyone's side. I have a much more powerful ally than any king." "Who?" I asked. "It's time for you to find out. Come here, Ruby." "No," I said. "I know how hard it is to resist the Minax, but don't let it control you. Don't let it win. I'm the one who has won." She opened her hand to show the black shard resting on her milk-white palm. It seemed to absorb the light, making everything around it dim and colourless. "Let me see how well you resist now, Ruby."
"Give me the shard, Morella," said Arcus in a low, persuasive voice. "Whatever you think..." With decisive speed, she dashed the shard against the floor and crushed it under her heel. The sharp crack was followed by wisps of obsidian mist rising from the shard's remains. The tendrils coalesced into a roughly human-like shape. Rising from its brow were several curved points that moved sinuously like flames. A crown of fire. The Fire Minax. The inky creature gathered itself and twitched toward me. Arcus moved to block its path. The creature changed direction and slipped around him and behind me, flowing into the nape of my neck like a splash of hot water. I clapped my palm over the vulnerable skin, but the Minax had already seeped in, taking hold, curving into the dark, hidden spaces of my mind and clinging like a bat to a cave ceiling. "We are one," the Minax said. Or was it I who spoke? It didn't matter. In seconds, I'd forgotten who'd I'd been and what I'd wanted. I was whole in a way that I'd never been before. I experienced the relief of no longer fighting something inevitable. Fear left my body in an exhalation and loosening of limbs. I met Morella's eyes and she smiled. I felt peaceful suddenly. She and I were in tune with each other. Her plans were no longer a mystery to me. If I hadn't been fighting so hard against my connection with the Minax, I would have known her intentions sooner. Now all that was left was a final joining, to touch my twin for the first time in 1,000 years. It could have been 1,000,000, or yesterday. When the separation was over, it would no longer matter. I moved toward her, arm extended, hand seeking. The Frost King, Arcus, caught me around the waist and I cried out, hating his very nature, his touch. His essence repelled me, made me writhe and want to leave the safe and perfect shell of the Fireblood girl Ruby, the daughter of darkness who had come to free me. "Ruby!" he said sharply, and I pushed at him, lashed out with hands and feet, drew in breath to wield my fire. His arms tightened like cold steel bands, pinning my arms to my sides. I focused on expelling him with a flash of heat over my skin. If I had to burn in order to escape him, I would. But while he held me, she, Morella, host to my twin, came forward. Her hand sought and found mine. As our flesh touched, cold to warm, my twin and I reached our shadow fingers through our host's skin and touched as well. A wave-like pulse rippled out into the air, shuddering through the walls, drawing cracks on the stone floor, shearing through sections of the ceiling and pulling down rocks into shivering piles of rubble. The frost blood was thrown off his feet. From our linked hands came a bubble of light that swirled and grew larger until a lozenge of blinding white spun between us. All that was left was the recitation of words of power that would complete the ritual. We said them in unison, old words no longer remembered, an ancient tongue only spoken by gods. Saying the words was a joy because it meant we were no longer alone. We had found each other and would soon be reunited with our creator. We would never be alone again. The Frostblood, Arcus, surged to his feet. A gash on his head leaked blue liquid, the lifeblood of his frail mortal body, and I noticed that weakness in case I needed to attack.
"What is that?"
he demanded, staring, the white of the portal reflected in his wide-open eyes. We didn't respond. We didn't need to. We didn't answer to him. The portal steadied, its borders stabilizing. My twin and I stepped back, our arms falling to our sides. Moments later, a figure strode through the shining portal, his skin too bright, glowing like moonlight and sunlight and crushed pearls, smelling of spring buds and the wind of eastern storms.
"Who brought me here?"
The voice of the east wind was resonant, immense and implacable. "We did," we said.
"And where is my vessel? The mortal body that will host my essence so that I might remain in this world?" he asked.
We lifted our arms to point at the Frostblood man.
"An imperfect vessel," said our master. "He is bleeding.
There is a Fireblood prince in the tunnels," I offered humbly, hoping that Prince Iko was still there. I was shivering now in all my human limbs, and in my shadow self as well. To risk his displeasure was to risk great suffering. We had no power over him. We had learned that unmistakably when he put us in the thrones and we'd begged for freedom, for mercy, and found none. The god of the east wind turned to the tunnels and a bolt of purple light shot from his hands, making us cower and cover our heads with our arms and whine in fear. His light scorched. To let it touch us would be anguish. The rocks that blocked the tunnel entrance were blown into a cloud of choking dust. When the debris settled, not one, but two figures emerged, their mouths covered by their sleeves.
"Ruby?"
one called. "Kai." He had hair like a summer sunset. He came closer, waving at the dust that clouded his vision. He froze in shock as he caught sight of Eurus, a being made of glowing light. "What?" The other figure who followed was tall and dark, his eyes the green of wet leaves. Prince Iko.
He had brought the Fire Blood and the Frost Blood to destroy my throne. There are two of you, our god Eurus said, his skin too bright to look at, and I only need one. Who shall be my vessel? Neither spoke. You then, said Eurus, pointing at the bright-haired Fire Blood prince, Kai, and I felt a strange bolt of something unpleasant, some unwelcome human feeling. Fear for another's safety. It was my host who made us feel this unpleasant thing. We didn't want him to hurt Prince Kai with the hair of glowing coals and the eyes of golden brown. Eurus moved toward the mortal. Wait! The sound had come from my own mortal throat. The part of me that was still Ruby had surprised me, taking control. Take the other one. I spoke without wanting to, without thinking, and then trembled in fear of the god's wrath. But Eurus was merciful for once in an age, and he changed direction and slid into the other body, the tall man. Prince Iko's green eyes turned white for a moment as the light entered his thin body, then returned to normal. Eurus Iko turned to the sunset-haired man. His expression spoke his intentions clearly. Our god had no use for Kai, and so he would get rid of him. We struggled with ourselves, the Daughter of Darkness trying to assert her consciousness. Kai! Ruby's will once again took control of our voice. Go! Run! Kai shook his head, his gaze flinty as it latched onto Prince Iko, Eurus. You are no longer Prince Iko, are you? Iko is gone, said Eurus.
Then I don't have to worry about hurting him, said Kai.
The bend of his knees, his wide-legged stance and posture all screamed his intention to fight. Kai, no! I called out. Fear had brought me partially back to myself, but the Minak struggled for dominance, bathing my mind in a cocktail of sweet numbness and sense of futility. What does any of it matter? The thought said. Everything is fine. I forced myself to focus on Kai and Arcus, on memories of my mother and grandmother, finding the parts of myself that feared and cared and hurt. I rejected the floating joy the Minak offered and grabbed at thoughts of affection, empathy, even grief. Every second was a power struggle between myself and the Minak. I phased in and out of awareness as a separate entity. I was pulled from my self-absorption as fire flew from Eurus's fists. Or rather, it was Prince Iko's fire coming from fists he no longer controlled. The attack caught Kai off guard, throwing him backward. He slid across the floor for several feet before coming to a stop. I took a step toward him, relieved when I saw his chest rise and fall. Leave him, said Eurus. He is of no consequence. I jerked to a halt. Arcus had moved beside me. Eurus's gaze sharpened on him. If he meant to do to him what he'd done to Kai, fear broke through the remaining mist in my mind. I'm Ruby, I thought, beating away the velvety layers of numbness wrapped around me, wresting my identity from the mind of the Minak. I'm in control. I must have spoken aloud, because Iko, Eurus, smiled condescendingly. You are no longer merely a simple fire-blood girl. You are something more now, and though you will not live long enough to see the final triumph that comes from your sacrifice, your life will be given for a greater purpose. You will serve as host for the Minak as we travel to the Gate of Light, and when my Minak destroy the Sentinels, I will break the bars that keep the gate closed, so the rest of my living shadows will pour from where Cirrus trapped them in the Obscurum. So, you see? You're not dying in vain. You'll be remembered by the gods. As the one who helped you unleash the Minak on the world, I asked, more fully myself for the moment. That's not how I want to be remembered. His green eyes narrowed, but his smile widened. Somehow you've retained more than a little of yourself, haven't you? Remarkable. The Minak chose a strong host. The Minak inside me grew excited, murmuring something about a true vessel and Daughter of Darkness,
and though I was careful not to form the words with my lips, I sensed that Eurus could hear its voice anyway. He lifted a brow. "Are you certain, pet?" The Minax eagerly answered, "Yes," and then the heart-shaped scar near my left ear burned. I clapped my fingers over it, but Eurus stepped closer, grasped my wrist, and drew my hand firmly away. His eyes met mine, and even in the dim light, they looked brighter green than ever. "There is only one person on this earth my Minax would mark this way." His eyes seemed to glow. "You are my daughter."
Chapter 27. I heard Arcus's sharp inhalation. If it hadn't been for the Minax half in control of my limbs, I'd have staggered. The moment was an echo of the Queen's revelation that I was her niece, but far less welcome, and my mind was still hazed with the Minax's thoughts, chaotic and disordered, always striving to regain control. I wanted to refute Eurus's claim, but I couldn't even manage to open my mouth. "Not truly, my daughter." Eurus's satisfaction gleamed from Prince Iker's green eyes. "Not blood of my blood. My interfering mother Neb had long since forbade dalliances with fair mortals, I'm afraid. But your mother, the Sedesian princess, she was possessed by the Minax while you grew in her womb." "That's a lie." I'd meant to shout the denial, but the words emerged in a trembling whisper. I wanted to use my fire to attack him. I wanted to run, but my arms hung limp at my sides. It was as if I were made of stone and could only watch and listen, helpless to stop the words coming from his smiling mouth. Eurus crossed his arms over his chest in a way that was eerily similar to what Iko might have done. "Though I could not interfere with mortals, I have always had the ability to communicate with the two Minax I'd trapped in the Frost and Fire Thrones. I decided on a small experiment. A mingling of the shadows with fire to create the first in a possible new race, a child of darkness." "No," I whispered. My worst fear was coming true. "I told the Minax to leave its host, the Fire King at the time, and inhabit his younger daughter, Princess Rota, who happened to be expecting a child." He smirked at the memory. "An infant in a mother's womb surrounded by the essence of the Minax, day in, day out. Things looked promising for a while after you came howling into the world. By the Minax's account, you were a demonic little thing, with the characteristic quick temper of a fireblood princess. But your mother didn't seem to mind. She was tender and endlessly patient, barely showing signs that she'd been possessed for months. And when you were born, she shook off the Minax like a dog shaking off water." At the mention of my mother, a pang of grief pierced my heart, and then the power of the Minax eased the hurt back into numbness. Eurus tilted his head to the side. "She was a problem. She kept soothing all your discontent into patience and your fury into love. Your darkness had no chance to grow. I decided to get rid of her, but before I could act, Rota took you away, somewhere far enough that the Minax could no longer sense her. I suspect Sage assisted her somehow. I have a few scores to settle with Cirrus's favoured mortal when I find her." I sensed the Minax rattling around in my mind, but it had grown almost placid, as if Eurus were telling it a bedtime story and it was soothed. I felt its leap of recognition when he mentioned my mother. Horror was laying siege to my body, thickening my throat, forcing beads of sweat to my forehead, twisting my stomach. But the Minax's influence blocked the feelings from taking hold. I was trapped in a strange, echoing limbo between my own agonized reaction and the Minax's numb indifference. "But why did you want to create a child of darkness at all?" I asked hoarsely, half lost in my inner battle. "Why, the child of darkness was to be the first one. The first of a new race of nightbloods. I want to create my own people.
people who are strong enough to host the Minax permanently. People who will do my bidding. My living nightmares will leave the Obscurum and possess mortals, and I'll rule the shadows. After all, Sood created Firebloods, and Fors... He gestured to Arcus, who emanated deadly cold on my left, made his walking icicles. It was my turn. I set out to create humans filled with the very essence of darkness. Nightbloods. A wisp of fear penetrated my mental haze. My first night on the ship, I dreamed of a creature with shadow arms spreading wide, as if the night itself longed to embrace me. My nightmare was coming true. Eurus's eyes glittered, his pupils dilated white, little windows into a pitiless, obsessive mind. But instead of creating my own people, the Minax scampered from person to person, using them like an otter with a pile of clamshells, cracking them open and sucking out the meat before discarding them. You weren't creating, you were destroying, taking away identity and free will. Bah! Mortals would do far better if they relinquished control. You make a hash of everything anyway. You warred with each other before Frostbloods and Firebloods were created. The gods have merely made the conflicts more entertaining. Arcus made an angry sound. I turned to him with a warning look. And now that I have you, Eurus continued, the first successful Nightblood, the very thing I've wanted to create for a millennium, I can make more of you. You have shown me that sending the Minax to possess an unborn child is the only way to create a vessel that can accommodate one indefinitely. I'll form a people who will conquer both Frostbloods and Firebloods. Or kill them all off for all I care, and rule the mortal world. Ice ran down my spine as he rubbed his hand over his chin and added thoughtfully, I haven't decided whether to let the rest of the mortals live. The ones without any powers are so dreary. But I suppose they're useful in their own way. Serfs, servants, chattel, what have you. My pulse surged, my hands clammy. I didn't know what I felt. The Minax held the barrier between body and mind. They do have their uses, Mirella said, moving closer to Eurus, hands loosely clasped, her white gown and gaunt frame making her appear frail and pure. And if you prize drive and ambition, I've proven myself to you time and time again. He turned his head and looked her over. You're a pretty little thing, aren't you? A bit starved, but rather fetching in a wasted sort of way. Lady Mirella, she said, offering her hand as if she were meeting him at court. He continued to stare. After a moment, she let her arm fall back to her side. I suppose I have you to thank for all of this, he asked sardonically. Yes, she lifted her chin, and I expect you to recognize that you couldn't have done it without me. He chortled. You expect it, do you? And what do you expect in return? Currently I'm offering your continued ability to draw breath. You want to storm the Gate of Light and liberate the rest of the Minax. I've helped you already by opening the portal to bring you here. Both Minax are here for the taking, so they can fight the sentinels that guard the gate. In return, I would like you to gift me with Nightblood power so that I can be a bridge between gods and mortals for you. You need someone who understands the Minax, who can communicate with them when you return to your own realm. If you give me the power to rule the Minax, carrying out your orders, I will be your mortal queen, your faithful servant, forever. Please, said Eurus, clearly enjoying her speech. Tell me more of what you think I need, Lady Ghost. My muscles were coiled with nervous tension as I watched the tall, stolen body of Iko face the frail body of my one-time friend. Why she thought she could bargain with the god of the East Wind was beyond me. The Mirella I knew wouldn't have been so foolishly daring. The Minax must have ruined her judgment, twisted her mind so that everything she was saying seemed reasonable. I wanted to shake some sense into her. But this wasn't the time for sudden moves.
I spoke evenly, trying to make her see reason. You surely don't want what you're asking for, Mirella. Imagine what the world would be like. This place you're envisioning with the Minax possessing mortals and controlling them. Look at what it makes them do. The whole point is that I'll be controlling the Minax, so I'll get to decide what they do. Someone needs to make sure they don't just wipe out all the mortals with their hunger. I've shown that I can control the Frost Minax. I'll be able to control the others, too. You really think you can do that? I asked, the urgency of my emotions breaking through the Minax's hold. That anyone can fully control them? Any misgivings I might have had were burned away over the past few weeks. In time, you'll see my side of things. Her eyes narrowed. Stop fighting the Minax, Ruby, and let it do its work. You'll feel better for it. The Minax rushed to the forefront of my mind, overwhelming me. I felt myself losing touch with my thoughts, my identity. Then Arcus's hand touched my back, the cold shocking me into awareness again. Eurus watched all this, amused. A delightful fantasy, Lady Skin and Bones. But you are not a Nightblood. You wouldn't last a day in the Obscurum. Not like my Ruby. My reply was quiet but fervent. I'm not your anything. In an abrupt change of mood, his eyes darkened. Your protests bore me. Time to leave. My muscles locked. I'm not going anywhere with you. Arcus edged in front of me. Yes, my dear, you are. We're going to the Gate of Light to release the rest of my beloved Minax, and I need a Nightblood alongside me. Haven't you been paying attention? Please tell me I didn't sire a dullard. I'm not going anywhere with you. Anywhere. Ever. His lip curled. You're in that rebellious phase of adolescence. How tedious. Arcus reached out for my hand, and Arcus slammed his forearm against Eurus's wrist. Eurus cried out, his eyes startled, his body bent at the waist. This experience of human pain, he said breathlessly. I didn't miss it. With a deep breath, he straightened up again. His eyes were dark green and full of murder. Normally, I'd make you die slowly for that, you bastard spawn of fours. He spat the name of the god of the North Wind, his hatred clear. But I don't have all my usual talents in this mortal form. I'll have to settle for using the powers in this borrowed body. He whipped his arm back, fire coiling in his palm, but Arcus was faster. He sent a massive beam of frost at Eurus's chest, which lifted and threw him across the room. Eurus moaned and tried to stand, staring with fury at his uncooperative human legs. The Minax quivered in reaction to Eurus's pain, freeing my mind a little. I focused on Eurus. I'd spent most of my fire melting the throne, but I summoned what was left to bathe the god of the East Wind in flames. I threw a quick glance at Kai to make sure he was still safe. A slight movement showed that he was waking. As I turned back, cold fingers wrapped around my wrist, sharp nails digging into my skin. Mirella yanked my arm down and punched me, her fist landing on my shoulder as I twisted automatically to avoid the blow. I gasped and staggered, amazed at the strength in her skinny arms. From the corner of my eye, I saw Eurus attack Arcus with twin blazes that curved together and met in a swirling column. Arcus dodged and countered with ice that knocked Eurus off balance. You're not ruining this for me, Ruby, Mirella snarled near my ear. You've ruined everything else. She aimed at my feet, coating them in a layer of ice that crawled up my ankles to my calves. I sent out a pulse of heat to my lower limbs and kicked free. But before I could regain my balance, she'd hit me with a bolt to the stomach, making me double over and fall to my knees. You'll do as you're told, Mirella said, spraying my bent back with a barrage of ice arrows that cut through the robe and silk tunic. Hot blood welled in the gashes and spilled down my back.
You will cooperate in every way or be gutted like a fish, and I will find some other willing host for the Fire Minax. Do you understand?
Not sure that Eurus agrees I'm expendable, I replied, snapping out a whip of flame that caught her around the neck before hissing away. She gasped and clutched her throat.
I'll kill you!
Try. I stood and snapped at her with another fire whip that made her stumble back. The Minax reveled in the fight, pushing my conscious thoughts to the fuzzy edges. Elation coursed through me in blissful waves. I could hear Eurus and Arcus brawling several yards away, but my interest in the outcome faded. The seam lost colour. Torches flickered white instead of orange. The lava from the melted throne flowed in light grey ribbons toward the corners of the room. I could see Mirella's heart in her chest. A white pulse of energy that begged to be targeted.
I can see your heart too, Ruby, she said with a flare of cold purpose in her eyes, and I can read your every thought. The Minax is in control, which means you aren't.
Imitating my previous move, she lashed me with an icy whip. I spun to avoid the brunt of it, and it shattered against my shoulder.
My gift is stronger now, she said. Loosing a current of frigid air filled with stinging needles of ice. Several landed on my cheek, slicing the skin.
So is mine, I replied, with arrows of fire. She blocked, batting them down with her forearms.
But you're tired. You're not yourself.
She was right. I was something far, far more dangerous. I wasn't the girl I'd been a year ago. Ruby, the helpless Fireblood peasant, victim of the Frost King's soldiers. I was Princess Ruby, heir to the Sudesian throne, Nightblood daughter of a twisted and bloodthirsty god. Nothing could or would stop me. My chest expanded with a surge of fire, the Minax's possession refilling the well of heat I'd depleted. My mind sharpened, sped up, everything laid out in excruciating detail. I could use the one gift that only the Queen and I had, the power to control lava. Reaching deep for a final burst of energy, I called up the lava from the corners of the room, the bubbling remains of the throne, and I drew the strands together, pulling the gathered mass of liquid up behind Mirella in a wave. The heat was blistering, the lava unstoppable. Killing her would be the easiest thing I'd ever done. My hands hovered. Ready to bring molten death down on her. Time stilled. Images flashed. The arena. Gravnach, the Frostblood champion who'd regularly engaged in torture before he killed his opponents. First, an image of him soaring at my little finger as I screamed, then him convulsing on the ground, his blue blood leaking from his mouth. Captain Drake. His blade poised over me, then his lifeless body, his wife and daughter watching. Rasmus, murderous, trying to suffocate me with his ice in his throne room. Then a later version of Rasmus, his eyes wide with surprise as the Minax filled him one last time, using up the last of his energy, severing the connection between spirit and body. Arcus facing me in the arena is Cain, when I'd almost killed him. Arcus in the Frost King's throne room, shaking in my arms as I held him, muttering his brother's name. Kai shoving me against the brick wall of the alley outside the tavern, demanding to know why I'd almost killed a man for no reason. The school courtyard. Kai holding me gently, telling me not to fight my emotions. Then I saw Sage. Clear as if she stood in front of me, her gold eyes burning into mine, beaming a message straight into my mind. Not her. And somehow, I immediately understood. I was fighting the wrong opponent. This wasn't the arena. Mirella was not my enemy. If I killed her, I would have lost myself to the Minax, and I would never, never fully come back from that. Sage said. Be you. Clarity was instant and cataclysmic. I was Eurus's creation.
The Minax had known it almost from the time I'd first seen the Frost Throne. It had recognized a kindred spirit and known I belonged with it. I was a Nightblood. I was also a Fireblood. Kai had tried to explain that I fought my emotions too much, that my internal struggle diminished my power. My fear of losing control held me back from realizing my full potential. I had to trust that some basic part of me was good, and let myself be fully Nightblood, fully Fireblood, just for this moment, both merciless and passionate, and know that my mother's love had provided a foundation that would never let me stray too far from my true self. I threw the lava back, watching the bright glow of it slosh against the wall, making sure it settled once again. Then I focused on the Minax inside of me, concentrating on my connection to it, letting it merge with me, putting up no resistance. When my mind synced completely with its darkness, I expelled it from my body with the force of my will. Pain cleaved my head and I lost my vision, but I didn't allow myself to lose focus. For a moment, both Minax seemed startled. I knew everything they felt and heard their every thought. They had longed to be together for an eternity, trapped and separated from each other and from their own kind. But they were used to being in control, not being controlled. I forced the Fire Minax to pull the Frost Minax from the shell of Mirella's body, its shadow arms wrapping around the essence of its twin and yanking it out. I heard Mirella's gasp and cry. I heard her body hit the floor. Dimly, I listened to another fight nearby, Arcus's grunt of pain and Eurus's malevolent laughter. I bent every fragment of awareness on the Fire Minax, controlling its movements, forcing it to drain energy from the other Minax, to turn its vast hunger on its twin. The Frost Minax screamed and fought back, threatening and begging. I showed no mercy. The Frost Minax had caused war, genocide and murder in Tempeta. Never again. Its time was over. It spat a torrent of ancient words I didn't understand, though I sensed the general meaning. A curse, a vow of revenge, a wish for my suffering. As the Frost Minax spouted invective, I forced the Fire Minax to snuff out its last spark of life. As the echoes faded, the Fire Minax hovered there, confused, filled with extra energy stolen from its twin. It struggled with something deep and irrevocable, something unfamiliar that confused it. The confusion turned to anger. I called it back to me before it could take its anger out on anyone else. Return to me. I staggered as the Minax, doubled in power, slammed through the barrier of skin. Be silent, I told it. Sleep. It railed and fought. I repeated the order. It whimpered, an inhuman keening, and finally, reluctantly, curled up in a corner of my mind and went silent. The room pulsed with quiet. The pounding in my head eased. Blood prickled behind my eyes and I opened them. The room came into focus. Arcus was covered in rivulets of shining blue blood, still standing, tense and angry. With surprise, I noticed Kai, breathing hard but alert next to him, his hair mussed, his robes burnt, his hands raised to defend. They faced Eurus, who stood some yards away near the spinning portal. For a moment, I wondered why they'd all stopped fighting. Then I noticed that Eurus held Mirella in his arms, a human shield. Her white gown trailed to the floor like a sparkling waterfall, one limp arm also hanging down. Her honey-rich hair had come loose from its pins and spilled over his arms. Her face was bone-white, her eyes closed. My heart lurched to see her so still. Is she dead? Eurus's gaze shifted to me, and then back to Arcus. Make any sudden moves, and she will be.
Leave her, said Arcus roughly. You don't need her.
I do need her. To make sure you don't attack again.
The death of my Minax has weakened my bond with this frail mortal body. If I had my own powers, our battle would have turned out very differently.
If you weren't hiding behind an unconscious girl, Kai chimed in, his roughened voice lacking its usual verve, things would end very quickly.
Hence my reluctance to put her down, Eurus conceded. He kept his eyes on Arcus, but turned his head to me. Ruby, you'll come with us.
I clenched my fists. No.
Then I'll kill this frostblood girl, he threatened. Snapping her neck will be like breaking the stem of a flower.
He glanced down at Mirella, then refocused on me.
I'll leave her here if you come with me.
I started forward. Arcus's arms snaked around my waist, hauling me back against him. Ruby won't trade her life for Mirella's.
He bent to whisper in my ear.
Don't trust him. He could just take you both, kill you both.
Put Mirella down, and then I'll consider it, I said firmly.
A look of stark rage contorted Eurus's features into a frightening mask.
So your friends can kill me? I don't think so.
I recoiled, my heart kicking at my ribs. Just as quickly, his face smoothed back into amusement.
Unfortunately, I'm in no position to force you. Alas, even gods must retreat when confined in inconveniently breakable bodies. However, denying me now will cause you deep regret in the future.
You have already destroyed one of my Minax.
I will consider waiving your punishment if you cooperate now.
I'm not going. As Arcus had said, there was no way to know Eurus wouldn't kill Mirella the second I complied. And if I went with him, he'd have the Minax too, which he needed to open the Gate of Light. He would hold all the cards.
The portal contracted.
His nostrils flared.
As you wish. I'll be back for you.
He grinned, Iko's green eyes glinting with a god's haughty malevolence. His attention shifted back to Arcus and Kai, who stood tense and ready. I noticed for the first time that Eurus was bloodied and battered, breathing heavily. His legs trembled. Arcus and Kai had given him a beating. The thought gave me a moment of satisfaction before he spoke again.
This frostblood lady won't last more than a few hours as a host for the remaining Minax, poor thing.
There was no sympathy in Eurus's tone, only amusement.
Why don't you keep my creature, my daughter? Consider it training, a lesson to prepare you for your future.
The blood drained from my face. He was going to leave the Minax with me. I was hosting the creature, and I had nowhere to trap it, no way to destroy it.
Eurus grinned fiercely. Until next time, Ruby.
He turned and leaped into the portal with Mirella in his arms. I rushed forward, trying to grab her at the last second, but before I could touch her, the light flickered and contracted to a pinpoint. A rushing noise filled the air, a sucking hiss that echoed off the stone walls and faded into silence as the light disappeared. The silence didn't last. The floor shook with another tremor. Pebbles rained down from the ceiling, covering my face and arms with a layer of grey dust. I rubbed it from my lashes, opening my eyes at the sound of someone coughing. Across the wide space, a few feet inside the doorway to the tunnels, Queen Nalani and Master Dalla stood side by side, staring in confusion. After a stunned pause, the Queen demanded,
"What have you done with my husband?"
Chapter 28. Master Dalla strode forward, his orange robe swirling around his feet. Several masters filed in after him, the torchlight glinting off their wrist guards. They all wore ceremonial garb, obviously straight from the initiation. Queen Nalani followed slowly, her hand pressed to the wall for support.
"What is the meaning of this?" she demanded.
Master Dalla looked furious.
"A guard reported seeing frost and fire within the tunnels. Explain yourselves!"
I shook with exhaustion. My body felt strangely cold.
The throne, Mirella, the fight, Eurus. They had taken everything out of me. Kai stood straight, but his skin was coated in sweat, his breathing still uneven. Arcas was made of stone, his expression flat and empty. He watched the queen, waiting for her next move. My heart sank, inching toward despair. What hope did we have that she'd let Arcas go? None. The Minax, grief-hungry, stirred in the back of my mind. I tried to ignore the feelings. Focus on each moment, I told myself. Make sure Arcas is safe and then rest. Master Dalla took in the scene, staring at the spot where the throne used to be.
The throne of Sud is gone! What treason is this?
The queen stared at the empty central area, her hands still braced against the wall. I was shocked to notice a tremor run through her. She was normally the embodiment of strength.
We did what we had to do, I said shakily. Prince Iko wanted to protect the queen. The curse was gaining strength, corrupting the queen.
The curse?
Queen Nilani frowned.
What is the girl speaking of, Dalla? Iko had no right, Master Dalla said harshly to me. He had no right to destroy the throne that gives the queen her power.
The queen put a hand to her chest and rubbed, as if easing a pain there. Her keen gaze swept the room and landed on Master Dalla, fixing on him like an archer taking aim.
So you lied to me about the throne's destruction. You hid the throne here. You hid it from me.
Dalla hung his head.
Yes, Your Majesty. But it was for your own protection. A necessity once we realized the curse was active. Had you known the throne was still on Seer, you would have insisted on using it. This way, you had the benefit of the throne's power, but we kept the curse controlled.
The danger of the curse outweighed the benefit of the throne, I said.
Dalla's lip curled.
The throne was safely contained here where the curse could not affect the queen. Now look at her. She's weak.
It was true. She leaned heavily against the wall, her expression haunted. Perhaps the absence of the throne caused a deep emotional rift, or maybe the separation was affecting her physically. She reminded me of Rasmus after the Frost Throne was destroyed, grieving for the Minax he thought he couldn't live without. But Nalani hadn't even known that the Minax was present. She was yearning for something she'd never known she'd had. She clearly felt the loss just the same.
You're wrong.
I fought to sound calm, to not show the anger that swirled inside me. It's the removal of the curse that's making her feel sick. She'll get better now that it's gone. I could only hope that were true. Dalla ignored me.
You will have to answer for these crimes. All of you.
Without turning his head, he ordered,
Take the king back to the North Tower.
The masters moved forward toward Arcas. Ignoring my exhaustion, I bent my knees, widened my stance, and raised my fists. Master Dalla barked a command, and the masters halted. To me, he said with forced patience,
Be sensible, Princess Ruby. Don't make this harder on yourself.
Ruby, said the queen,
bringing my gaze to her. Her voice sounded faint. She looked tired and strained.
Where is my husband?
No one had answered her before. I swallowed and stepped closer.
Your Majesty, Queen Nalani, I'm sorry.
Your husband is gone.
He was here a moment ago.
She looked around as if expecting him to step out from behind a pillar. Her voice sounded thin, her face crumpling like a child's as she searched the room with frightened eyes.
This is not the least bit amusing.
My breath came shorter, dread settling in my belly. This was going to crush her, especially now when she was feeling the absence of the Minax so acutely.
We have much to tell you. Then tell me, she demanded hoarsely.
I pushed myself to recount the events of the last 2 days, including my search for the book and my conversation with Prince Iko, when he told me his suspicions about the throne's influence. Then, Haltingly, I described the destruction of the throne, Morella's betrayal, and the portal that opened to the realm of the gods. I left out the revelation that I was a Nightblood, that I held the Minax now. I wasn't sure what her reaction would be if she knew it was so near.